Okay. All right, so one thing I have to say that I was busy working with the other proposal, I didn't actually got much time to really put down examples and the case that I promised last time. So, but I did actually, I looked at the principles that you laid down for this.
I don't yet like it. I don't like it yet. I have to, it has to go through some revisions before I actually like to read it.
But I guess it's good that we lay down ideas that what we have.
Yeah.
So I guess we need to sharpen exactly what we want to have. I think it doesn't need five or six.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. I just put all the things that I thought.
That's what I said. Yeah. So
we could have.
We could. Yeah. And I think it's just there are a few things that I think it's novel for the approach. That in terms of, for example, dynamically changing or managing the time dilation across the systems to satisfy the requirements of this hybrid simulation emulation.
Right, so when you say dynamically changing...
dynamically could be runtime, could be... It depends on the level of granularity of that being dynamic. Of course, it's going to be runtime because without runtime, the role is, because it's underutilization that we need to worry about. And if we scale down, we have to be make sure we are not under provision the resources, right? So that means that if the traffic is actually starting, if you have a 10 gigabit link. We can't really, we have a 100 megabit link, a physical link. We're going to, go a magnitude of 1,000, right? So obviously that's not achievable. Well, suppose that's achievable, right? First of all. But 10 gigabit link does not necessarily mean that you have a 10 gigabit, physical traffic going through it at any, setting, right?
Right.
So in that case, it doesn't make sense for us to really scale down by a factor of 1,000.
Right.
We need it. There are also other things in saying, well, even if we need to have, say, in a 10 gigabit link, we need to actually have 1 gigabit traffic over it. So that's a factor of 10 in this case, right? And on the other hand, does all the traffic needs to really go through the physical connection? Or maybe we can really sort of, using some other tricks to cache the payload or something that be able to,
Now you're talking about new techniques, right?
It's a combination of what I meant here.
Right. So I had a couple of questions that I would like us to discuss. One is the whether we would like to propose for a uniform time dilation factor across all the elements in the of the simulation and emulation.
Right.
And I think at some point, as I was reading our previous version of the proposal, we do state that we want to have a common time dilation factor across all the elements.
Right.
And so if we go with that assumption that we have a common time dilation factor, then the dynamic time dilation factor must be uniformly applied to everything.
Right.
In the extent, right?
Yeah.
All the others.
Yes.
So I'm assuming when you say dynamic time dilation factor, you mean that.
Right.
Rather than changing TDF independently on different elements.
You're correct. Yes. That's what I mean. So remember what last time, I think it's a revision from the previous, or the first submission. The first submission we said,
everything is changing,
And then we find ourselves actually get into the corner in terms of how to synchronize these things. Synchronization seems to be much of a problem and doesn't seem to be feasible.
Mm-hmm.
So the last round, when we actually look into the issue, we actually change and say, well, let's actually make it an optimization problem. We have a single dilation factor, so whatever you want to choose, eventually X, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the demand, here's available physical source resources. Now it's a partitioning problem, right? So you put things there, it's a bin packing, you pack them there, so that this time dilation factor is minimized.
Yeah.
Right. So that's eventually we go that it seems to be more feasible.
Right.
Than the other approach.
Right.
Right.
Right. So now we are saying that time dilation factor can be dynamically adjusted
across the system, right? Because what we beam packet there might not be say fixed throughout the simulation or throughout the experiment, right? Things are actually going to change. Of course, we're going to actually engage in the reallocation, this global management, local management, whatever, that are put together and so that they can abide to the same dilation factor. But at certain times, we find either the resources are not enough or we have extra room to squeeze the time dilation factor even further, right? So at that time, we have to readjust. And readjusting the time dilation factor is feasible, right? At a certain point, we just say, you know, everybody synchronized, let's, you know, remap, reallocate or something, and then, you know, settle on the smaller time dilation factor.
Right, so those are some of the details I think we have to have in the proposal, which is how do we, first of all, ensure that time is synchronized across all the entities. We simplify the problem a little bit by saying everything has the same time dilation factor, but still we have to sort of, you know, walk through an example where we say, okay,
right.
The time dilation factor is 5 for all the elements. So if this guy were to send some network packet to this other guy, how are we going to guarantee that the time of receipt is not in the past?
Right, yeah.
For
yeah.
the receiving
mm-hmm,
end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So those things we have to show. The second thing is that how do we ensure that all these elements are still synchronized when we dynamically change the time dilation factor? So how do we ensure, let's say, something like everyone changes the time dilation factor at exactly the same time? I guess we cannot ensure that, right? Because all these are distributed.
Well,
we can say that they're going to be approximately...
But they're synchronized. They're synchronized in real time, right? So they perceive the same work clock time, if that assumption is true. Right. Of course, the time drift in the machine, you know, you're not perceiving exactly the same time. But at a, you know, a larger time granularity, all of them actually going at the same time.
But it's still coarse grain. We're not seeking for strict synchronization.
We will not. No. It's for the global one, it's
yeah.
far sort of coarse grain.
Yeah.
And say, let's just make assumption. Every 10 minutes, into the execution, and everybody comes to 10 minutes, and whatever the time dilation factor they use the same one, and get there and say, now it's time for engage some kind of global synchronization algorithm, I shouldn't say synchronization, global decision-making process,
right.
And look at all the resources, the history of the resources being used, and one is to reshuffle things with, you know, considering the overhead in terms of migrating the virtual machines, and so that we shuffle things, and so that we actually still have the problem changed a little bit. We still try to optimize that time dilation factor to be as small as possible, so that we don't dilate too much. And on the other hand, we're gonna consider how to repartition the problem. So it's different in terms of partition and repartition. Partition, you don't have history, you just put things in place and so that would minimize the time dilation factor. Repartition means there is a cost if you decided to move this virtual machine over there, and there is a cost of unplugging and plugging in, right?
You're talking about the global management.
The global management.
There is also some local
management. Local management is what Ming put there. I think it's really reasonable in terms of fine-tuning. You know, this is the time dilation factor we are going to use, and somehow we need to make sure that for every machine that perceives the same resources that they requested.
Right.
Right.
So I think there has to be some communication between the local and the global management concepts.
Yeah.
So one thing which we could do, for instance, local management, the goal of the local management is twofold. One is to ensure that time dilation factors for each VM are obeyed, right? And the second is to ensure high resource utilization.
This is, are you talking about local or?
For local.
For local, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the local is continuously monitoring these time dilation factors. So those are the details we have to sort out. For instance, where does the local manager reside? How does it monitor the time dilation factors for each VM?
Mm-hmm.
Can it do that, or it needs some additional information from somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But it has two goals, which is one is to make sure time dilation factors for all the VMs are observed, and the second is to ensure high resource utilization. Now, if any of those are not being satisfied, then the local management first takes local decisions, but at some point it's possible that those two conditions cannot be satisfied by local decisions, right?
So yeah, you're going to have missed deadlines. And
if you have, for instance, if suddenly one of the VMs starts sending 10 times as much network data, right? So to maintain the same time dilation factor, we have to give it 10 times as much network bandwidth.
Right.
So what do you do? If you don't have so much network bandwidth on the physical host, then one of the solutions to move that virtual machine elsewhere to a different physical host which has those resources, or move some other VM, but that the local management module cannot do independently. It has to consult with the global guy, and that guy will make a decision where things need to move.
We
still have this in the proposal.
We do?
Maybe invited.
Yeah. I think the point is clear here. We need a little bit far more explicit, because that's where the question coming from is actually being two rounds, and since for every round, I mean the second version obviously is far better than the first one, but still come up with all questions in terms of how these are actually being managed.
Yeah.
I think I see the list of things, and I think this is the thing. This is if we actually just say, this is what we are going to do.
The reason it's not there in the core principles is because I wasn't confident enough that we have a contribution.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe add another core principle there once we sort this out.
I have a different idea.
Hmm.
So I think what we need to do is just sharpen one great idea, because that's where it's coming from. So that's let's say we get the nothing else is new, right? It's for example, the co-design simulation animation. I mean, that's exactly what I've been doing for quite a few years. And that there are other people doing simulation and emulation, and not necessarily on the same kind of direction, but they're doing something. So we're not claiming this is new. Symbiotic, that's not new. What I meant here is just, they are necessary things that we're gonna mention, but these are not things that are gonna be enough for us to push us to someone and say, oh, this is really novel idea. This is something that's one goal.
Sorry, so Jason, so this comes back to my question. I want to ask you, what is the biggest novelty that you see from this proposal in the network community? Okay, because resource management is more in the system community.
Right.
That is what I and
Raju. So just let's just give you an example with people interested. Okay, so I've been through this experiment workshop, and people come up with all those crazy ideas. So one of the ideas would be, and actually we've done something like that, they do high performance TCP with data centers. Right, so this is just something that tuned like the Google have their own TCP version or whatever for parameter tuning.
Mm-hmm.
So they want this sort of thing. So they want to say that our bandwidth is this high. There's nothing for them to test it on. You can either do it in simulation, which nobody actually believes, or you do real systems. And emulation is a less of an option, because the emulation typically deal with far less. Far less bandwidth, right?
I guess Google is not a good example.
No.
We already have the infrastructure.
I'm not going to use that. I'm just saying this in terms of the contribution giving. There are a lot of experiments that are willing to conduct experiments.
Mm-hmm.
This experiment, real experiments,
mm-hmm.
on the emulated platform, this is the event-based emulation platform, even though you have simulated, simulation is just like a traffic shaper to some extent. You see that at a higher level. It's shaping the traffic so that the traffic is shaped according to the virtual network spec, right? And to that extent, that there's no...
Wait a minute. I think, based on our previous discussion, I thought that one of the contributions was to have the ability to pull out some elements from the network and emulate them and keep the rest in simulation, which are perhaps not as critical. And so it's, I think in some ways it goes beyond a simple traffic shaper.
Oh yeah, I'm not. I definitely will not undersell that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the important aspect.
So do you think there are already systems or research papers out there which talk about how to optimally do this division of simulation elements and emulation elements for a distributed simulation across multiple physical nodes? So.
But that's what we are doing.
And that's the symbiotic simulation.
So the thing is that...
No, it's not. I think that's
co-design, I don't know. Which point is...
No, I think it's number one.
Number one.
Yeah. So it's basically number... So let me walk you through the principles that I had. And maybe some of these are not as novel as others. The first one, the intention of the first one is saying that we provide the ability to partition the network and create a simulation plus emulation style experiment where there are key points of interest that are emulated, whereas the remaining are simulated.
So,
but there are underlying research problems, right? The underlying challenges are, well, how do you partition?
Right.
How do you determine which one should be in simulation, which one should be in emulation?
Right.
So I don't know if those are novel enough.
It's not being solved, first of all.
Is
but
it
the mechanism, in terms of having simulation emulation, that's what Prime is doing all the time, right? So now...
Yeah, but that's sort of the engineering side of it, but I'm saying...
Right, but that's exactly what I'm just about to say. So, but do you have any good ideas in terms of, I think our dynamic, resource allocation, that's a novel idea. So in terms of looking at this in the different aspects.
My question is that is more like a systems aspect. That is not a network aspect. So
that's the other point. We come back to that point. But in terms of making this a design principle, that I think it's very important to have some support to it. I mean, everybody can identify a problem.
Mm-hmm.
There is for example, if you do parallel computation, partitioning is a problem, dynamic load balancing is a problem. Everybody can identify that problem. But I think you make that successful, you have to say, we look at that problem. Yes, we also look at that this is something to address.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this is an ingenious partitioning thing that we propose.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could do that, that would mean that this is a highlight the merit part.
So what I'm saying is that we need to solve that problem, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for this project to succeed, we have to solve that partitioning problem.
Yeah.
Well, which parts are going to be emulated, which parts are going to be simulated, and how do these map to the physical infrastructure, right? I think we need to solve that problem. And if we have sufficient detail about what are the challenges in solving that problem, what are our approaches, then we can say, well, this is one of our core principles behind our approach, and we're going to implement this principle by addressing all of these challenges.
But how do you propose to solve it? I mean, look at this problem for me. I'm looking at this problem more, very much like the partitioning and the dynamic load balancing. It's a problem that has to be set in a particular context. And if you do this kind of computation, do that kind of computation, there are things that in terms of computation over communication ratio that, this is how it could be solved and so on and so forth. There are some regularity that you can do something like this. So very much entrenched by the problem itself, by the problem that you can solve.
And the problem and the context is exactly the first principle, right? we want to strike balance between accuracy and scalability.
Right.
Right.
So the thing is that is there research already out there that provides such a capability?
That's my question too, yes.
That provides such a capability for a large scale simulation. And if there is, then that should be a focus of our discussion for related work, and that should be the focus of our motivation to say, well, there is such a system, but it does not address this, this, and this.
So let's talk about the partitioning a little bit more. Okay. So what exactly are the partitioning ideas we have? Let's just think it along the way before we actually then say whether this should be a design principle or not.
Right. Before we go there, my question is, do we need to solve this problem for the success of this project?
Right. Is this
a fundamental problem that we need to solve or not? If it is, then we should have substantially address the challenges to solving that problem. And if we don't, then there is a fundamental issue with this with this proposal.
Right. So let me put it this way. I say no. The reason I say no is the following. Okay, so it's how do you actually automate the process in terms of actually doing the partitioning?
So
whether this is actually enough for a user decision or assisted, sort of somehow assisted the decision that the user needs to make in terms of partitioning this. If you look at this from a performance perspective, that's a different thing. That's all those optimization problems that in. But if you say this is a problem in terms of what should be emulated, what should be simulated, that's a totally different problem. That's because I being a user, you know, I would say, how would you know that you should actually make that traffic generator be a simulated traffic generator?
Yes.
While that I would say, you know, I should use a particular traffic generator that I favor, which actually generate real traffic.
Right. So the assumption that I'm making here is that the input for the experiment is model of a network and specification of what are the points of interest for the user of the system, which is the scientist who's conducting the experiment. So those are the input.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to go from that input where I'm specifying, where the user is specifying link bandwidths, processing capabilities of various elements,
mm-hmm.
and saying, okay, these are the ones that I want to pay more attention to. I'm more interested in their, how they behave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's my input. And then I need to go from that specification to an actual deployment of simulation experiment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do I do that? And that's not clear to me, right? And I think it's not obvious how this mapping would be made, how the network would be partitioned, and how these partitions would be mapped to various nodes.
Those are the other problems. Those are the in terms of performance related, how to map particular emulator host to a virtual environment or virtual machine. That is actually taken care of by the global management team. On the other hand, whether this node should be emulated or simulated,
mm-hmm.
right? And that is, it has the context, right?
So I'm assuming that's provided by the user of the system.
Right,
is that agreed upon or?
I think that's what the user should provide.
Right.
What you could, being a tool, what you can do is provide options. You say, by the way, I have, you could install anything on a virtual machine, right? So everything that generates traffic can be able to be the traffic source that you study, right? On the other hand, by the way, I have this traffic generator, these two traffic generators, I may actually emulate it. You can just, they're going to be installed by the tool and generate the traffic that you want with the parameters you like. Or I have some traffic generators that actually can do all the simulation stuff and generate exactly the same traffic load to pass to your, say, HTTP server.
So those are the input options, and the user will choose and create a specification of what he wants the experiment to do.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So, but going from there to, first of all, specifying the problem in this way, has anyone done this? Right? To say, okay, we are giving the user the capability to specify points of interest and...
But that's not research. I mean, that's
No, I'm not saying that it's research. I'm not saying that it's research. I'm saying, has someone looked at the problem in this way?
Well, people always ask, for example, I'll give you an example. People looking into simulation or even emulation community, they don't combine, but they look at the same set of problems. So if you talk about traffic generator, you can look at a particular page with 10, you know, maybe at least 20 different kind of traffic generators there. And those are traffic generators, some of the traffic generators...
Maybe you misunderstood what I'm saying. I'm saying is that have people talked about a framework for allowing users to set up experiments where they can specify a network and say certain portions of the network can be emulated and certain portions of the network can be simulated and specify the experiment in that way. I'm not saying whether they have the option to choose different traffic generators.
The client has been doing that all the time.
Is it something that is already a solved problem?
It's not completely implemented, but it's a solved problem. Yes, it's solving in the following sense that you could that's basically describing network. You describe a network. You say this part I'm going to emulate it. This part I'm going to simulate it. You have to specify, otherwise Prime will not be able to know which one is going to.
And what does Prime do with this specification?
With this specification, I analyze the model, basically pull out all the nodes that actually you want to emulate, and so I start to do some pre-processing so that I make sure that
those nodes
is going to be mapped to individual
virtual machines.
Yeah.
But this is all in a single machine. Or you solve the problem of how am I going to subdivide the network and how am I going to map.
The divide of the network is a separate issue. It's basically you could do partitioning, and originally in the simulation, partitioning is done only in the simulation. So you say, here's a network with 1,000 nodes. I have 10 machines. I'm going to put 100 nodes on the machine one at a time. I partition it so that the cut is actually, you know, with minimum cut through them and balance. And this you can done. But if you do have sporadic nodes that are actually going to be emulated, I have to take into consideration is, you know, you choose 100 nodes.
So does Prime do that already? I mean,
Prime is just about to do that.
Right. So
right.
isn't this proposal part of
No. What I meant here is probably not of sufficient interest to the. This is more of a mechanism. Because we don't have a really crystal clear idea. This is something, you know, going to change the whole thing. It is not. It is more of this is a necessary evil. Just like a partitioning and load balancing the parallel computation.
This high level approach is a novel part of this proposal because all the dynamic time dilation factors, I look at those as mechanisms to achieve this, right? Whereas a user of a system like this, I can come in and say, okay, here's a network, here's my specification, here are my points of interest, go do your thing.
Maybe that's just another challenge to in this context.
What is another challenge?
Yeah, how to interface for the users. Maybe that's another challenge.
I'm not talking about interface at all. I'm saying the capability provided by a system like this.
Yes, I understand. I guess maybe what you're trying to say is there such a system that can accurately simulate a large scale network with a limited amount of resources? Is that
right.
A fundamental problem that we are trying to solve?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, are we fundamentally trying to solve the accuracy and scalability dilemma in this proposal?
Right. So the problem statement is, can we accurately simulate a large scale
and
network
right.
Yeah, the control using a limited amount of resources?
Yeah.
And all of the techniques that we propose are just to address the challenges in the context of this.
So that's why I'm actually proposing this is addressing the stuff that we are definitely sure this is actually gonna be the highlight
of this.
Because there are many problems, including this partitioning. I mean, if you just write a proposal about partitioning, there are a lot of things about partitioning.
Right.
But I don't think we have a crystal clear idea about how actually our approach is going to differ from any actually intuitive approach that after 5 minutes of discussion we can come up with something. So what I meant here is that's not the strength of this. If it's not strength of this, I admit this is a challenge. We need to address it. But you can write about it in the, you know, sort of a subsequent.
So I guess the way that I'm thinking, or maybe Ari is thinking, is that is this problem really a transformative problem that we can solve? If it is a transformative problem and we can solve it, then.
Let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Okay. If you think simulation and emulation, the combined hybrid simulation and emulation is a novel approach, it is not.
Okay.
Right. The whole point is the prime is doing that, some other people are doing that to some extent.
Mm.
Right? And that's not right.
Mm.
So it's a tough sell for us to just say, let's actually do, and well, it is true that it's always the case, that it's always a problem that how we actually be able to think, you know, this part needs to
be
simulated.
But where is the related work that talks about this hybrid system?
Prime emulat, maybe those are related. Right?
Yeah.
But
so
you just said that prime doesn't solve this problem, right? I mean, there's still
the thing is that prime is not solving the problem, but you're not solving the problem also.
But that
this is the problem.
No, that's not my point. My point is this a problem that we need to solve for the success of this project, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a problem that we need to solve?
Well.
If it is, we can solve it. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, if it is,
we can spend some time thinking about what are the challenges and how do we go about addressing them.
Okay. So I guess I'm not making this clear.
Mm.
I guess implicitly, I was referring to that we don't have a good solution to this problem. And the reason is I see this problem from the point of view is a fundamental partitioning problem. And also, this problem is very problem-driven. Is exactly what do you want to simulate? What do we have to actually, you know, come back to Ming's comments just earlier. We have to sell it to the network community.
Yes.
This isn't something. This is a tool that actually eventually is going to be used by the network experimental community, and they're going to take it and actually look at the problem. So they come from different aspects. I mean, when the say network community, they are doing peer-to-peer, they are doing CDN, they're doing TCP, they're doing all sorts, they're doing routing, they're coming from all sorts of directions. And
sure.
And the problem here is then you say, let's actually try to come up with a tool that can automate this thing to an extent where we can provide suggestions or some kind of decisions. The system can come up with the decisions and which part of the thing is going to be emulated, which part of the thing is going to be simulated. So my reaction to that is almost impossible.
No. I didn't have that picture in mind at all. So like I said before, the input to whatever we have here is specification of the network, right? And also specification of which are points of interest, which means those are the points that need to be emulated.
Your interest is an emulated interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, those are points of interest, and I want to sort of go deeper into that. Actually, maybe that's not the right way to describe it. Maybe I can get more details even in simulation. I don't know, right? But some specification as to which parts the user want to be emulated and which parts you want to be simulated.
That
part is given.
We're
not solving that problem because the input to the system. Right? So if you make that assumption, then the real problem becomes, well, how do I allocate resources for an experiment so that I can do all of this stuff, right, in the most optimal way?
Let me put it this way. Let's just take that into a real spin, talking about a specific problem. You know, just pick routing, congestion control,
anything you want.
Say CDN. Okay. Right, because CDN has few nodes that you need to know, not like routing, you have to emulate all the routers. This is CDN. Okay. So the particular experiment that actually I was proposing this week to the program director, so it's like actually distributed city and with caching capabilities and stuff like that. To deal with the stream. It's not a completely new idea, but there's a spin on the social network that she likes. But anyway, so this is a completely new system that I want to simulate and emulate. Okay, so this is a user designer that, you know, I have something I want to deal with. So it's up to me. If I'm the experimenter, I would just say, you know what, I do not necessarily have to have all the routers being simulated, emulated on Samsung. There's some things that I think I can just use the simulation to deal with it, you know, like forwarding traffic and stuff like that. But I will capture all those CDN nodes. I will be able to just capture exactly those traffic that actually related to, you know, video streaming, because I'm going to do transcoding and stuff. Okay? And those are the things that I'm going to actually, in terms of placement of things in the cache, is very important to me. So I need to make decisions for some high-level controller living somewhere else and collecting information from the active social links that people are actually dealing with. But in any case, so this is the system that I have in mind to experiment, right? And I have an idea and want to experiment. And now it comes to this and saying, you have a cluster machine with, you know, 16 nodes and I like to use it. And you come in and say, here is Venice that you can use it because I can give you the precise, you know, kind of accurate representation of the network. And now it's a decision of how to make the system to, you know, how to conduct the experiment, how to design experiment. All right. Some of the nodes need to be emulated. I know what other nodes I want to emulate it. I know some of the nodes need to be simulated, particularly the network need to be simulated, the social network need to be simulated. The user behavior needs to be simulated, and the user behavior means that the traffic events, they watch movie, the movie needs to be sent to the user according to some statistical distribution, and that needs to be simulated. So I know all these things, and then I write the experiment description. That's exactly what the Prime can do these days. You just write a description and say, here is a network, here's the things that on this network, these are the nodes I'm actually chosen, I have chosen as the CDN proxies. I'm going to run them. And after that, I click the big red button and go there. And now that it is worse, and map that down and do that for me. Mm-hmm. Okay, the mapping is not ideal. And not ideal in the sense that there's always partitioning is not a solved problem in computation. Power computation is in general. You have some heuristics and you say, you know, I partition somewhat equal number of simulated nodes. There are somewhat there. It's not going to be the optimal. It's an NP-hard problem. There's no way I can do that, but I can do that with the heuristic so that it can somewhat balance. So now it comes to me is whether this is a solved problem or not. Right? It is not a solved problem in the sense that I'm not actually getting the optimal solution of this. There obviously I'm not monitoring traffic and find out these two actually CDN nodes are actually close to each other. They always very very actively communicate with one another. It's actually going to be optimal if I move this over here, right? Do I need to do weak partitioning and load balancing and do something? I probably don't have it. But in order to do that, there's a scheme of doing that. So delay that question to be the global management. Like the global management to do that at, you know, doing something.
Right. But so this is the novelty here is that we have a solution. It may not be a partitioning based solution. It may be a dynamic resource management based solution. Right. But we are proposing, from what I understand, a new solution to perhaps a problem that people have already looked at.
What solution you refer?
The solution is the dynamic resource management. So we are not saying we are perfectly partitioning the network at the beginning,
right.
But we are adapting over time.
I agree. I absolutely.
So, but that's solving that specific problem, right? Which is how do we go from a specification of a network experiment to actual resource allocation? And in this case, our solution is dynamic resource allocation.
So maybe I'm actually misread. When you say design principles, So these are not the design decisions.
There's, yeah, these are principles that.
Then we, these are the, how to say principles. These are the problems we're eyeing.
Yeah,
we're,
no,
we're trying to solve.
Yeah, these are the, yeah, not problems, but rather these are the principles of our approach to solving this problem. These are the core principles of our solution.
Okay.
Not the problems.
Yeah. So just one follow-up question. So if the combination of simulation and emulation is not new, does any existing system can help you optimize that?
No.
But then maybe
no,
that is the big
the big part is the accuracy part, as a matter of fact.
Mm.
The accuracy part is very important here in saying, well, anything can emulate. You go emulate, they can actually give you install some kind of a traffic shaper there, and be able to say, well, you know, between these two nodes, these emulated nodes, they can communicate somehow, traffic according to a bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that bandwidth is far smaller, it's less than 100 megabits per second, and they can emulate. You can use DummyNet, for example, to be very specific about the buffer size and stuff like that. But it's not going to solve the problem. The problem, what we are coming up with is saying, well, what if you do have a link that which is actually a 10 gigabit link that you want to do this, right? So this, I think that is the novelty part, because...
Yeah, we have to be careful how we say it's novel, because time dilation is something that already exists. So people have already talked about how do I make a 1 gigabit link look like a 10 gigabit link. Using time dilation.
It's more like a technique
that we are
using.
Yeah.
It's more of a technique. Well, yeah, you could, solve problem. You can just put a 10 gigabit link there. That's not the issue here.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying that people have already solved this specific problem using time dilation.
No, they didn't. The problem is that they can solve it that they actually have to, have a time dilation factor of 1,000. I actually measured it up to 100. It's probably going to be the tolerable level that in terms of accuracy. 1,000? I mean, I don't want to get into that kind of debate because, I really don't want to. Every second is 1,000 seconds, almost, it's 20 minutes, right? So this is, you really don't want to get in there to really debate about, what's going on there. But I think that's not a solution. That's a possible way. It's just like the possibility that you can just, why Emulab is constrained by a, 100 megabits per link. You just make a network with a 10 gigabit, you're solving the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is that they are not solving this efficiently, given the platform.
Right.
Would you be able to,
efficiently
use it? I think that's still very strong contribution.
Can we say that our contribution, our novelty is the optimization? It's the optimization because all of these techniques are actually designed for the optimization.
If we go in the optimization direction, I'm afraid that will be categorized as incremental.
But that's exactly the first principle you put there, right? The balance between accuracy and scalability. Why do you want to balance them? It's because you want to optimize your emulation, the performance of your emulation, and the kind of resource utilization, right?
I sort of disagree with the incremental part. I mean, maybe we are not addressing that, or at least we need to believe that first. I don't think this is incremental. I mean, in terms of time dilation, yes, that's a mechanism. Always like operating system that we have to use, right? It's an operating system that actually slows down the clock pace. Right, so obviously that's something we can make use of. On the other hand, that the solution doesn't work. That's what I'm saying. That if you have a 10 gigabit and it's trying to emulate it on a 100 megabit link, it doesn't work. It's a time dilation of 1,000. That's just not feasible. And there are a lot of other emulation errors going to come in. For example, and the people actually in the review already alluded to saying that. You can't just dilate the time and thinking that that's actually accurate, cycle accurate, and emulate what's going on. Because there are other things than just network speed, right? And in terms of performance, network, you can't say, I have a machine, This is a machine that actually 2 gigahertz, right? I'm going to slow it down 10 times so that I can actually emulate the machine 20 gigahertz. This is a very broad brush. I mean, you can't say that. I mean, we can just say it could be in terms of process speed, if everything scales linearly that way, that we, you know, have the clock to be, you know, basically speeding up the clock 10 times, and that gives us, you know, 20 gig.
How do we address that, the limitation of time dilation? How do we address that?
We don't. The thing is that I think what we need to put in there is saying, now let's see. Okay, so we are not going to actually have an architecture simulation. Or architecture, I guess this is architecture simulation. You sort of simulate that, you know, 20 gigabit gigahertz machine on the 2 gigahertz machine. And we are not going to do instruction level and actually see that particular instruction set is actually going to work for that. It just doesn't work that way, right? All the other systems scale differently. The storage systems scale differently. The all the other things that are going to come in, we're not doing that. So, but we are not dealing with architecture simulation, or we are dealing with network performance, right? To some extent, at the accuracy level, so suppose we are actually going to have a machine with 2 gigahertz machine to emulate 10 2 gigahertz machines. Suppose this is the case. Can we do that? Well, we can do that. The time dilation factor gives us exactly that kind of thing. It's just, you know, everybody kind of 1/10 of the share. We slow down the time. So in terms of the instruction set, they're the same. We sort of, I think we can make the guesstimation that that's what it should be. On the other hand, in terms of networking, here is a 100 megabits per second link, and here's 1 gigabit per second link that we want to emulate, right? And that the accuracy, you know, of course, you know, that these two different physical links gonna use a totally different MAC layer and stuff, you know, in terms of physical layer, in terms of how to actually provide a 10 gigabit link versus a 100 megabit link. We don't do that at that level, because what we are doing is very easy. If your bandwidth is a 100 megabits, the bandwidth 1 gigabits, a bit takes how much time to really get through, you know, or how many bits can be fit into the bandwidth. We know that, and we actually sort of estimate the time it takes for transforming a file of this size over the same settings, that means 10 times
so
smaller.
It seems like a very complicated message to convey, even I'm
So Jason, at the end of the day, what are the novelties or contributions this proposal is going to make that the natural community can appreciate?
That's what I'm trying to say. I think this dynamic management scheme basically saying, We're not just using time dilation, okay? The time dilation is one mechanism. It doesn't work for all these kind of situations. So let's say, well, let's use dynamic time dilation. You can't just slow down a machine by 1,000-fold, okay? On this one, we're gonna actually try to, you know, improve the efficiency.
Wait a minute. I mean, so far we don't have those sorts of arguments. So these are new arguments that you're bringing in, which is saying that time dilation doesn't apply in certain conditions. We haven't talked about that.
I think that's going to be very dangerous to talk about that.
We probably have to address the
limitation.
Well, first of all, I don't even
understand. We need to address the limitation in the first place. Let me put it this way. I think I'm getting into something that I shouldn't say. The time dilation doesn't work. It doesn't work in the formula. It's in terms of performance. Okay? So in the original time dilation schemes, if you're trying to emulate just one link, so that we make things easy, okay? One link with 1 gig or 10 gigabit on a 100 megabits per second throughput supported the physical link, we have to time dilate 1,000 times. That's very inefficient. Now, because this whole mechanism is not really going to change the time dilation, you're going to apply the time dilation and show that I can do that maybe in the factor of 10.
Because the amount of traffic that's going through that link,
amount
is
of
just,
traffic, right, and I can
only 10 megabits per second.
And there is no allocation. If you don't do any dynamic partitioning of this thing, you came, the whole thing is an optimization problem, but we're optimizing as probably a factor more than, you know, the several magnitude factor than the common approach.
Because the network link is not utilized. Is that the point?
Network link is not utilized. Partition is not in place. So if a partition, if you have an upward partition, so that this one is a 1,000 time dilation, that one is the 1,000 time dilation, you can't really do anything but use a 1,000 time dilation factor, right? And on the other hand, if I could say, if in your 1,000, I can actually put several machines there because I can support it on this machine. And adding all these things together, I can reduce the time dilation factor. So it's not just the utilization. Utilization is an important one. It's
so
very important.
That seems to be scalability. Maybe that's the keyword we need to highlight. You want to, you know, truly to use a very small amount of resources to emulate a very large scale network system. That's scalability is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the keyword that we want to stress? That's the question I want to get an answer. What is the, you know, again, the transformative idea we have here? Because dynamic resource management, again, is a mechanism. It can be used for many different things.
That's
right.
True.
It can be used for data center management or network emulation. That is something I believe the system community will, you know, appreciate more than the network community.
So we're saying on this existing platform, or performance, and scalability and performance, right? So basically, well, you could use time dilation of 1,000 to achieve the same goal.
Mm.
But that means every second is 1,000 seconds.
It's a bit slower, much more
right,
slower.
Much smaller. And I think there's a performance issue rather than a scalability issue. Well, with that one,
so you're saying if I sacrifice my performance, I can, you know, simulate the same size of the system, just much more slower, right?
That's much slower.
Yeah. But performance is definitely close to scalability, even how you define scalability.
Right. Yeah. If you have the same performance doing,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
100
right,
more
right,
things,
right.
Then
yeah,
you can scale up.
So
yeah.
This is scalability term.
What is the proposal about? If I were to describe this proposal in one sentence, how would I describe it?
Okay, one sentence. I try to be short. Two sentences. We are proposing a new simulation emulation system that allows, well, I guess, accurate representation of the system. I mean, that accurate has to be quote. I mean, the accuracy has, you know, this combination and sort of thing. And providing, you know, basically improve the performance of the system.
So in the second sentence, you're allowed to justify why that is the case. So why should I believe you that your system is going to be better than or transformative in a way that existing systems are not, right?
Transformative is very subjective.
Yeah.
I mean, that's innovative.
Yeah.
Say innovative.
Right.
What, novel.
So I think the novelty part is exactly the idea that we have this virtual time machine. It's a combination of using time dilation and resource allocation, and with this, you know, two layers scheme to somehow map the requirement from the user experiment requirement of having simulation emulation and map down to the physical hardware principle, and be as efficient as what we can see as possible using this approach.
So it seems to be kind of that in the first sentence of the intellectual marriage, this version, right? The project aims at developing a high fidelity, which is accuracy, high performance, which is performance, and highly controllable experimental platform, which is controllability. Since we have, I did the.
Well, people don't believe us. The thing is that, no, what I meant here is, it doesn't matter what we say. I think it matters is what are the normal ideas.
Mm.
What are the ideas that can change the picture, right? That's what transformative, all these this high terms, it's got all about. I think we have a novel idea in terms of this two-level approach and actually mapping this into an optimization problem so that we are be able to facilitate a large-scale, fairly accurate simulation emulation experiment and on a commodity platform. That's where the medium is coming from. So I think this is the key. And then the other thing is actually is supporting this. You know, partitioning, simulation, and that the co-design.
Yeah.
Without this, we don't have the system. So, you know, the whole point is actually how to map this. We have to say that there are things need to be emulated, there are things need to be simulated. The reason that I'm not really putting this as a first order object is because this is a supporting rule, and we don't yet have a very solid idea about how to do this actually and distinguish us from just the common idea,
no,
intuitive
but
idea.
You mean the partitioning part?
The partitioning part, okay.
No, but the partitioning part is where we are solving it using dynamics, right? I mean, dynamics, resource management, virtual machine migration, we are solving that.
So maybe,
we don't need an ideal partitioning solution.
Maybe we are talking about the different things. What I see here, the partitioning party is in.
So let me read the first paragraph,
okay.
Right, and see if you agree with that. Right? So the 1.1, the first paragraph. But I say that large-scale experimental test beds for enabling network science all share the common goals of accuracy, scalability, and controllability.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we agree with that. The first two of these goals are in obvious conflict, and resolving such conflicts involves making trade-offs. The simulation and emulation-only approaches are instances of two extreme choices in the trade-off space.
I like what you said there, yeah.
So, and then I'm saying something which is the sort of the transformative angle that I was looking at, which is Venice is the first that enables users, and by users I mean network science researchers, to choose arbitrary points in this trade-off space. Right. So I'm saying there is a trade-off between scalability and accuracy, and then I have solutions which are simulation only, which are in one side, and emulation only, which are in the other side, and Venice is providing the ability to choose where you want to be in this trade-off space. Right. Further, the control provided is fine-grained, whereby users can make different trade-offs for different portions of the network within a single experiment. So I can say this part of the network I'm okay with low accuracy, but I want high scalability. And then, but this part of the network in the same experiment, I want high accuracy, but some low scalability. It is okay.
These two sentences, actually, I marked it here. This is two sentences I think it is problematic to me.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for saying that is it's not the first to enable. I mean, at least the people.
So, which is where I think your input in this in this part, because that's what I thought.
I think
you're the first, right? And to me, based on the reviews, it also seemed like that the reviewers thought that we were the first. The combining was really good, right?
I hope that we can keep the same size of viewers. It's true, but that's exactly where Prime is making the space there. I'm not saying that we shouldn't use that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that someone would come up and say, this is how this is actually different from that one.
Yeah. Remember, there are also reviewers saying that, well, this is just another simulator. Why should we try to use a real simulator that we are not familiar with?
That's
that may be an orthogonal
question.
I think it comes back to how we are better than the existing simulators, such
right.
as Prime,
right.
or Emulat. Let's come back to this question. If we are much better, then well, they are willing to pay this penalty, right? But if we are not, then
there is a big difference between Venus and Prime.
Mm.
Prime is real time. So everything is going to have to be happening in real time. It doesn't really support a 10-qubit link. Now, we try that, but that's really not Prime's point of doing this. And I think that, you know, to extend that, I don't see anybody actually come into space in terms of be able to accurately, quote-unquote, represent a futuristic system or some system that require high bandwidth, that sort of thing. So I think we are looking at a possible solution to this. Well, now it comes back to saying, well, you know, time dilation effort, are they actually coming into this space, right? But yes, we acknowledge that, but the problem is that using time dilation, they're using this very inefficient. So let's look, build. So I see this point, honestly, is let's build a simulation emulation system that be able to use time dilation, however, in the system-wide time dilation, and have to be able to sort of clamp down the, you know, you can't have PDF out of control.
So the question is, at this level of discussion,
how do
we bring those things up, mm-hmm. right? I mean, how do we start talking about those sorts of details when we are saying, when we are trying to describe at a very high level, what is the novelty of our...
Just in one sentence, what is novelty?
Yeah.
We cannot do that yet.
But maybe we can say, okay, expand on this first paragraph a little bit and bring in the scalability angle somehow and say, okay, we are using virtualization to ensure high resource utilization, which is why, you know, we can scale beyond what existing systems can, and
right.
somehow
yeah.
bring time dilation. It, I mean, the reason I wrote it at this level is because I didn't want to complicate the message too much.
Right. Yeah. So writing. Let me come back to this. I mean, I think I criticize that. It's not right in the sense that, you know, I was thinking, because when you would talk about this, I was thinking of Prime and worrying that people would say how the system is actually really different.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly the difference I just referred to,
mm-hmm.
which actually makes a difference. And that difference is actually critical, because you can find several real-time simulators, including NS3. They do real-time simulation. They do, you know, their notion of emulation is very simple. Everybody run together, link them up, packets going in, going out. They have a completely synchronized system, because they all are looking to the real-time clock, right? So all these approaches, none of those approaches are actually really looking into how to sort of change the virtual time. Now we do have some. I remember a Time Jail paper published in 2008, and they do look at the time dilation that dynamically changing time. Is it dynamically changing time dilation? So there are people actually encroaching into the space and looking into the issue. But their approach, on the other hand, is only animation. They never actually get into the simulation.
Right. So which is why I'm saying there are simulation-only approaches and emulation-only approaches, but there is a huge, this trade-off space is quite big, right? And
right.
you can actually choose whatever you want. And we are saying, well, we are creating the ability to actually make different trade-offs, even for different portions of the same network within the same experiment.
I think that's right. Yeah. So Venus is the first system, right? Or a first that ever actually looking into the system perspective, right? In that to allow arbitrary points and trade-off. That's a very dangerous thing to say. But I need to think about whether it's actually true.
Yeah, maybe some of the statements are too strong and can be tempered a little bit. But in the end, the message is that we can choose these points.
This point, I think that's...
For instance, we can say for a router, I only want to emulate its routing capability, but the forwarding I can simulate.
Right.
So that's already some sort of a finer grain between simulation only and and emulation only, right? It's already sitting somewhere in between.
Right.
So those kinds of things.
Jason, maybe you can summarize this.
Yeah, I think what I was hoping is that, you know, I wrote up something, right, a set of principles that I thought from my systems view and from my limited view of this space, what I thought was novel, right? But I think the next thing which we probably want to do is to have Jason go through this and try to correct it and fix this section and maybe crystallize into a fewer set of principles, maybe change some principles. The principles, like I said before, I was thinking of presenting those as the key differentiating principles of our solution than what existed.
So can you, so the, this, when I read this, I never time I looked into, I sort of encountered the word principle, right? I have to think what exactly it means. The principle is not design decision, as you say. It's not the problem.
It's the solution.
It's the solution.
The principles of our solution.
Yes.
Right? What is the what are the principles behind our approach? What people have done before to solve this high-level problem of network experiments? They've looked at simulation-only approaches. So my principle could have been, I'm doing simulation and then I can list a set of principles that apply to that, you know, class of solutions. To say, for my simulation approach, I'm going to use the principle that I'm going to do real-time simulation, right? Because it has all these nice properties.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm not specifying here how I'm going to do it. I'm just saying this is the approach I'm going to take, which doesn't exist today, right? And that's why it's novel.
So captured by a set of core principles listed below. The first principle we use is careful partitioning, okay, into the emulation simulated elements based on user, I guess, directives.
Yeah.
To efficiently address the conflicts between accuracy and scarcity principle.
Yeah, so if you just read the first sentence of all these principles, you'll get sort of some idea as to what granularity these principles are at, right? And what is
the
style of these principles.
I guess I would just still wait. I mean, maybe I would just need to digest a lot more. I look into the principles. I'll highlight all the keywords of all the principles.
Right, so the principles are, in some sense, the elevator pitch, right? Okay, this is what our approach is about. Okay, the first...
Well, that's different, right?
So if I have to describe my project...
Yeah.
And first, specify the problem. So the problem is not part of these principles. So I'm assuming that I already talked about the problem before, right? And then I list the set of principles of our solution. Right?
The
design principle is another thing. We're going to use this, we're going to use that, we're going to use this, we're going to use that, right?
No,
that's a design.
It's not design.
The high level of design.
No, it's a principle for design. It's not how exactly what design is going to be.
Like we're going to use caching here. We're going to use
Image
allocation here.
In this case, to be very specific, I want to talk about principles behind our solution, behind our approach.
Yeah.
Right? So the first principle is that we're going to combine emulation and simulation, right? And to address... and in a much more fine-grained way, so that we can more effectively address the conflict between scalability and accuracy. Right? So that's the first principle. The second principle is that we have a two-level dynamic management of resources at the local level and the global level. Right? So that's the second principle. And then the third principle is we are going to use the use of distributed and synchronized time dilation.
But that's the same thing as the second one, right?
Maybe these two are connected somehow.
Yeah,
but I managed to separate those into two principles.
Okay. Yeah, we can. Yeah,
we can think about how we can combine it, or because
sort of sharpen the
sharpen the principles. And then I'm saying the fourth principle is going to the symbiotic use of simulation and emulation, where what we do in emulation is influenced by what happens in simulation. So, for instance, in emulation, I can emulate packet drops by getting information from the simulator, and I can also do things like offload some of the activities of the emulation into simulation for more efficiency. So there is sort of this intercommunication between emulation and simulation to achieve greater levels of accuracy and performance.
That's sort of similar to the first one. Well, not necessarily. I mean, there's differences there.
Yeah, and then the fifth one is about, I wanted to put something about controllability of the experiment, right? And say, okay, we have, the principle is that we want to create a life cycle for experiments, starting from how the model is specified, how it is extracted, how the experiment is instantiated, how results are collected, how the user interacts with the experiment dynamically and can control it. So that's another principle, that we want to build this sort of life cycle. These are things that I extracted after reading the proposal So there's, that's just a first round, and we need to revise these principles. Or if you think there's a different way of how we can show that we are novel, or this proposal is novel, that would be good too.
And before the principles, the message should be. Message itself should be very simple. Or the objective should be very simple. What is the objective? If just in one sentence, what is the objective of this project?
Right. So I'm assuming that this is section 2 or 3, right? So there is an introduction section,
mm-hmm.
right? This is where we start talking about, well, what is our approach in a little bit more detail,
mm-hmm.
right? And say, okay, the principles of our approach. In the first section, I'm probably expecting us to talk about what is the goal of the project,
mm-hmm.
right? And what are the challenges that need to be addressed,
right?
Right.
Why we are novel from
yeah, and maybe a little bit about our high-level approach.
Right.
In this section, we are going into our approach a lot more, and saying, okay, the principles behind our approach are so and so.
Right.
In the next sections, we'll list specific research challenges
mm-hmm.
and specific solutions or solution proposals.
Sounds like good.
Which we already have. The next,
right.
I think, 2 or 3 sections already exist, and it is in the format of challenges
and
solution
proposals.
Right.
Yes. But don't you think? I've been talking about this. In terms of sharpening, because I think what happened is some of the solutions we proposed there are more or less a little bit boilerplate. Solutions. Those solutions that nobody actually would be very excited about. I mean, you talk about that as the definition is something that should be done.
Which
but
is
nobody.
Why,
yeah.
You mean in the next sections we have some challenges.
Some challenges that are really sort of a tangential, surrounding it, just supporting.
We can condense them.
Right.
To give space to more important.
Yeah. So that's what I meant here. So so we don't need that many. We do need to elaborate the important ones.
Yes.
And the important ones turn out to be the ones that actually, I presume, if we got funded, that would be something sort of a really excite the reviewer and say, oh, this is really kind of great, something, this is really novel.
One thing which we could do is, in this section, we can sort of condense these principles a little bit more, so we can reduce the space. And in the next subsection, within the same subsection, we can talk about the challenges. We can talk about some of the core challenges and say, okay,
right.
These are the challenges that we need to address. And then sort of the high-level challenges.
And a high-level sort of a solution. I mean, we don't need to talk about specific things, but we say, what are we going to do? Right, so this is about this challenge. We're really addressing this challenge in terms of how to do that. So this is, I think this is more probably in the section 3,
yeah.
right? So this section if we talk about the problem, I think that problem what we could do is use an example to sort of go through the example and go through, not just the problem, the problem and solution, so the high level problem and solution using example, and the fundamental contributions of our approach, proposed approach. So this is where all the design principles set in. I think that's what we, or maybe we shifted this, putting challenges first. Important challenges and the design principles in terms of...
Depends on what is the level of discussion of the challenges in relation to the principles.
Right,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so yeah.
So I think, maybe what we can do is, based on our discussion today, we can come up with a list of challenges and a revision of this.
Right.
These core principles, and then we can figure out where these different things fit.
Okay.
Maybe a merge of these two is more appropriate. We don't know yet.
Okay. So I can do this. I can give it a spin.
Okay.
So in a sense, I'm still missing that example. I want to have a highlight the problem and the possible solutions and sort of basically sort of string all these critical issues in there. And I will try to. I still have some reservations
sure.
in terms of the principles.
I think the principles need to be revised two or three more times.
Right. So the reason is not about writing. It's in terms of how to sharpen the message. I see the principle, but that might not really echo. Yeah, if I see that as something, I don't necessarily see that immediately. What are the reviewer would have the same
setup. I think
that's
really important because the people in the next reviewing panel will be people like you,
right.
More than people like me or me, who might have a very different view of what is novel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it would be good if you can revise these principles, maybe change them, shuffle them around, add new principles, remove some principles if you think some of them are not interesting. I think that would be very useful.
Okay, yeah.
So we need
so,
to go through those.
Okay, all right. I'll present something. We can then merge and
right.
do shuffling.
And then in the same section, in the final subsection, we can talk about some preliminary results. Say, okay, here's our approach. And here are some challenges to realizing this approach, and here are some preliminary
supporting results.
Some supporting preliminary results that maybe talk about first our expertise or prior accomplishments, and second
some
feasibility. So I'm saying that well, we've shown that this is actually can be.
How about section two?
This could be section two as well.
Follows this, right? It follows the principles.
I don't know what we have right now in section two.
Section two is background and preliminary.
We do need a better discussion to be visible.
I think that so that's very important because regardless of how many things that we say these are the preliminary related work. People don't see it. People still sort of come back to the same question, how yourself different from the existing self. So I guess
it might be a good idea to pull out some of that preliminary work in this section and say, okay, these are the things that we have done so far. And then it will be easy for people to contrast where is it that we are going and what we have done in the past.
That is idea. I'm thinking about the conflicting thing. This is going to be section three.
Yeah.
Right. So the first section is obviously we need to put everything there and highlight things. The second section we're going to talk with is the background. You can't talk about simulation animation without having given the definition of what simulation emulation of doing. What are so those are things that probably we can condense. Far less than what we have there.
In section one?
In section two.
section 2.
Just background, is throw something, these are the things actually being done, these are the things being done. People basically just flip through. But we need to put it there, because if we don't say that someone is going to be ticked off, right? So we put it there. In section 3, we're going to talk about the approach, and high-level approach, high-level solutions, preliminary work in this direction. So the preliminary work is going to be actually have to be very substantial. That's exactly the way that the people don't believe in time dilation. We're going to actually convince them. This is after we've done this, we have preliminary work in time dilation works, but we've done this and find out their accuracy is very good. The only problem is that it's actually a time dilation of 100, right? It's really inefficient in terms of reanimation. So our approach is actually looking
at
this.
Tendency.
Yeah, as
have a system. Virtualization to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a good discussion. Okay. So that's
So let's work on. I think this section is going to be key for us.
Right. Yeah. I'm
so
gonna,
let's continue to work,
continue
on,
work
this
on this section. Yes.
And till it gets to a form where we are all happy with it, and then we can look at the other proposal, and simultaneously we can work on the example as well and refine that.
What is the next time we need it?
In 1 week.
Yeah, I think we should meet every week.
Today is Thursday, right? Right, yeah. So we can... I plan not to come on Thursday, but we could.
We can do Monday.
Not Monday. Not Monday is fine. But I don't think I can actually finish some decent writing before then. Because that...
Well, we can work on the example on Monday. And then we can discuss the write-up next Monday, following Monday.
Okay.
At least you.
How about Tuesday? Tuesday is better than Monday.
For me, Monday and Thursday, I can come to school. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, I probably won't be here.
Well, I can coordinate with. How about you? Do you have any time constraints?
I just have a few meetings pre-scheduled, but I can come every day.
Right. So we could actually try Thursday. I think that's a little bit. The only reason is the Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday is the deadline for the other proposal.
Well, then we should meet on Thursday.
Yeah. So
let's meet next Thursday.
Yeah, we can meet next
and
Thursday.
And then maybe next before next Thursday, I guess you won't get to do any writing, but at least you can think more about the example.
Right.
And then we can discuss the example next Thursday.
Example, sure, and if I can do more, I'll do more.
Okay.
In that case.
So we just fix meeting at this exact same time?
On Thursday?
Let's do, if
yeah, regular.
Yeah, if we can do Thursday afternoon, I'll prefer that.
Okay.
Thursday afternoon, anytime, actually, is okay with me. Until 5 p.m.
Thursday, 1:30?
Yeah, 1:30 sounds good.
I'll just arbitrarily put there.
Is that okay?
1 p.m.
1:30.
Okay, 1:30. Fine. Yeah,
either way. Or 2. How about 2 o'clock?
2 is good. 2 o'clock.
Let's do 2 o'clock.
Okay.
So we're gonna make this regular, okay?
Yeah.
We're gonna make it regular.
Unless there are some special circumstances.
Right. Okay. That's good.
Time for lunch. You have brought your lunch?
I did bring my lunch.
Yeah.
I can go for coffee later.
And I need to leave.
Okay.
I need to do babysitting. Which is a good thing because I way took sort of a time off when I was traveling, so now it's my time.
Your kids are not in summer camp?
No, they're in summer camp, but since this week that I'm basically only coming back on Thursday and Friday, so it doesn't make sense to pay for the entire week.
Oh, yeah.
It's $90 each day. Kind of substantial.
Very substantial.
$90 per kid or 2 kids?
For 2.
Oh, $90 for 2.
I think for 2, but don't quote me. It could be the other way around.
So you have the audio for this meeting, right?
I have the audio. I will put on the SVN.
Okay.